There's something that I've got a bit of a problem with, and it's the word authenticity. Because when we talk about being authentic, I think it's been hijacked. I think it's been hijacked by social media influencers. I think it's been hijacked in so many ways. And for some reason, I find that people tend to link authenticity with oversharing. And that's not what it is. We can absolutely be authentic without feeling like we need to share our deepest secrets or sharing personal details or experiences that probably aren't appropriate for any public forum. But this has got a bit confused recently, and that means many of my clients are really wanting to learn how they can be themselves when the mic is on so that they can connect, they can be vulnerable, and they can share their stuff with their audiences in a meaningful way while still being appropriate to the situation, but also not being too guarded or taking on a totally weird persona, which can happen. And I know this because it happened to me for a very long time and still does. I'm still breaking out of bad habits. You know, there were many moments from my 10 years on the radio that are memorable, but probably the most instructive was a conversation that I had about 2 weeks after I first started on air. And it was about this very problem, about how to be authentic, or whatever that means, once the mic is turned on. And the conversation was what's called an air check. And it's where you sit down with your manager and you listen back to a recent program and you talk about what worked well and what to not ever do again. And look, it's absolutely terrifying for a new presenter. And I remember sitting in the producer's booth. It was this red room with the soundproofing on the walls, ready to listen back to my show. And before we even hit play, my manager said to me, "Penny, you need to learn how to be yourself on the radio again." And I remember thinking, what? I am being myself, aren't I? And then we listen back. And the phrase that I remember hearing was me, a 26-year-old, say, "Well, obviously when we talk about planning policy in Tasmania, what we know is..." There was nothing obvious to me about planning policy in Tasmania when I was 26, and there still isn't. What was obvious to me in that moment was that I wasn't being me. What I was doing is I was imitating other radio presenters. I was trying to sound like how I thought a radio presenter should sound. And I reckon we all do this in some way or another when we're being interviewed. We're trying to talk like a podcast guest should talk. We're trying to be like a panel interviewee should be. And look, while imitation is a great way to learn, it's not a way to be. And so I knew that I had some work to do to work out how to be me once the mic was turned on. And I'll tell you what, I got into it. I researched authenticity. I studied myself. I listened back to my programs every single day. I watched and learned from the best. I took advice from mentors. I tried new things. But I reckon the most valuable lesson came from a really surprising place. It was from a little house that I used to walk past every day on my way to work. So this was a typical Tasmanian-looking house, 3 bedrooms, weatherboards with a rusty red corrugated roof. It was on a block that was almost too big for it, and the lawns were never mowed. It had one of those, you know, those short concrete fences with the wrought iron in between the concrete pillars, and then a concrete slab path that led right up to the front door. And I remember alongside of that path were the most incredible roses I'd ever seen. So rather than being the standard icebergs that you might see in a Vogue Living magazine, they were big rose bushes of all different heights and colours, and it was like they flowered all year. And when I used to walk past this house, I kind of imagined that an older lady must have lived there. You know, she wasn't strong enough to push the mower, but she could look after those roses, and she did it meticulously. And I remember one morning on my way to work, I walked past and the tradies had moved in. And over the next few weeks, The house went through quite the transformation. You know, the back block was subdivided off. That short fence became tall. A new roof went on. I think in colour bond, monument grey. Then the weatherboards that were this kind of dusty green colour, they became white. My guess is Dulux Lexicon Quarter for anyone who's done a renovation. And as this transformation went on, I remember thinking that the house actually looked great. It looked $1 million. And then one day I walked past and the roses had been pulled out. I saw them lying dead on the lawn. And it was then that I realised that the older lady who I imagined lived there must have died or moved on. And that's when it hit me. That's when I worked out what I needed to learn so that I could be me when the mic was turned on. Whenever we're speaking in front of an audience, by all means, we can spruce ourselves up, make ourselves look $1 million. But whatever we do, we can't pull out our roses. So our roses are our authenticity markers. So these are the things that make us us. And without them, we're just like every other interviewee on the street, and people will walk past us without taking notice. But once we work out our authenticity markers, so how others see us, how they experience our thinking, and how we make people feel, we can plant them out the front and look after them meticulously. And so on today's episode, I want to go through three ways to help you identify your authenticity markers, allowing you to lift your spirit, which is your character, during interviews so that you can be you without any oversharing, without any weird personas, without being too guarded when the mic is on. So the first thing, wear yourself on the outside. We don't do this. We know that first impressions matter and that people form opinions quickly. And I reckon that by consciously matching our external characteristics with our internal ones, we can really quickly influence how other people perceive and describe us. So think about the descriptors that we have. First of all, what we wear and our hair. Our clothing or hairstyle are often how people describe us or how we describe other people. It's the lady with the blonde bob. It's the bald guy with the beard. Or the lady wearing the yellow dress. We do it all the time. And when we remember this, it lets us choose styles on the outside that properly reflect how we feel on the inside. Not only is this great for our confidence and allowing us to be us when the mic is on, it also helps us influence the way other people describe us and be happy with those descriptors. So think about what you wear and your hair, but also what you care about. I mean, what is it that you're always banging on about? Be intentional about this because this will impact how others remember you. Are you the person who's always banging on about strategy? Are you always banging on about culture? What is that thing that you want people to know you care about? So what you wear, your hair, what you care about, and finally, your flair. Now, this trumps all of the above when it comes to descriptors. If you have a distinctive quality, which you absolutely do, talk about it. Make sure other people know about this quality and then they'll repeat it. They won't be able to help themselves. And so for me, I am from a little island down the bottom of Australia called Tasmania. And so whenever I'm speaking on the mainland, I'm using air quotes as I say mainland, so the big island of Australia, I make a bit of a deal about being Tasmanian because it means I'm influencing how people will describe me. They'll call me the Tasmanian speaker. It'll trump everything else. So that's the first authenticity marker. It's about what people see. Wear yourself on the outside. So literally what you wear and your hair, what you care about and your flair. The second one is to know what's on show. Our communication style is the window to our brain. I think the saying goes something like that. Pay attention to how you come across because it will shape the way people experience your thinking. And I think there are three things here: mannerisms, momentum, and mojo. So mannerisms, understand how you use your voice. So that's your tone, your volume, and your language. Be aware of your body language. I know we talked about this last week. So facial expressions and gestures. And know where your style falls on that corporate to colloquial spectrum. because that'll help you connect better and bring yourself to every conversation. So be aware of your mannerisms. Your momentum, so this is your pace. Are you a fast speaker like me, or are you a bit more deliberate? Are you linear? Are you spontaneous? Are you really good at connecting the dots, or can you jump from one place to another and then come back to make everything make sense? And finally, how do you use pause? Could you use it more? The answer is always yes to this, by the way. We can always use more pause. And your mojo, your communication mojo. Everybody's got one. Once you know it, you can really bring it to the front. So are you witty? Are you wise? Are you a storyteller? Are you data-driven? Are you pragmatic, or are you playful? Learn and then lean into your communication mojo. And so your second authenticity marker is about your communication. Know what's on show. And finally, know your role. What is your role in that moment with that audience? When we know the answer to this question, we can get a sense of how we're going to make people feel. So are we an advisor, making people feel confident? Perhaps we're a peer, creating a sense of belonging or validation, or maybe we're being a connector and we're building networks and we're nurturing meaningful relationships. By understanding the role we play, we can be more aware of the impact that we have on others. And so that's how we work out our roses, our authenticity markers. It's about what people see. So wear yourself on the outside. It's how they experience your thinking. So know what's on show. And it's about how you make people feel. So be aware of your role in the moment with that audience. And they are the last three tips that will help you be a better guest during interviews. So we've done before interviews, we've now done during interviews, which means next week we're going to learn about the things that you can do after interviews to make you a great guest, but also to make sure you can get the most value out of all of the time and effort you've put into that interview, and you can make sure you get another one. Now, me telling you all of this on a podcast, or if you're following in my weekly newsletter, is one thing. Putting it into practice is another, which is why I'm really excited to let you know or remind you that I've just opened up the wait list for my 3-hour public workshop called Be a Better Guest. Now, I've run this before, but this is an entirely new version. It is less about the learning because, you know, you've already done that by listening to this podcast or reading the newsletter, and it is much more about the doing. So in the 3 hours, you will learn how to write your bio in a way that will influence an interviewer. You will learn how to pitch, and you will write your pitch that you can then use to get your next interview. You will write your key messages, you will find your stories to share, and you will even practice sharing them with other people in the room. It's a real doing sort of workshop. So the waitlist is open. Getting on the waitlist means that you'll get first dibs on early bird tickets, but there's no obligation to buy. So you may as well just get on the waitlist, right? And the quickest way to do that is to just send me an email to penny@pennyterry.com with the title saying waitlist. You can say hi, tell me a story about you. I'd love that as well. But really all you need to do to make it quick is send me an email to penny@pennyterry.com with the subject waitlist, or just say waitlist in there. Gosh, I'm making this more complicated than it needs to be. Just send me an email. Tell me you want to be on the waitlist. I will put you on the waitlist and you will be the first to know when the workshop spots open up and get the first dibs on those early bird tickets. Do it. It'll take you 30 seconds and you can make the decision later. That's it from me. Wow, this has been a long episode. I am not sticking to the brand promise. Sorry about that. But I look forward to talking with you next week, or maybe via email. See you later.